Whether you're a knowledge worker or someone who leads them, you need the proper skills. Leadership, communication, teamwork, emotional intelligence, strategy, and tactics. This is the place to learn them. My name is Jose, and I'm a product manager and coach with 15 years of experience in the software industry. Visit josemoda.net to get your free coaching call or email me at podcast@josemoda.net. Back to the show. I asked ChatGPT what the number one factor of a successful team is. It said communication. I then asked what the number one factor of a successful leader is. It said vision. Here's the thing. If a leader cannot communicate a vision, what's the point? This leads me to say that, if not the first, then leadership communication is definitely a runner-up. I asked ChatGPT if it agreed, and it said yes. Good leaders are good communicators. They ensure that everyone understands the message and they are given enough room for clarification. When people don't understand you because you can't articulate your thoughts consistently, you lose their interest and performance goes down. So how do you articulate with consistency and ensure your teams are crystal clear from the very beginning? To answer this important question, I'm proposing the MOS-MOS framework. It has four key components stacking on one another, which means that if you don't grasp the first one, the second one won't be as powerful. Let's get started. The first one is the meta model. The neuro-linguistic programming model, or NLP, is a set of questions and language patterns that help us clarify and understand the meaning of what someone is saying. By asking specific questions like, "Can you give me an example?" or "How do you know that?" we can uncover hidden information and get a clearer picture of someone's thoughts. Knowing the meta model makes it easier to communicate and comprehend each other. Knowing NLP can really up your game as a leader. Avoiding NLP patterns like deletion, generalization, and distortion keeps your messages crystal clear. You get better at asking the right questions to dig up specific info, challenge assumptions, and get everyone on the same page. You start to communicate more effectively, boost team dynamics, and drive growth. Here are some examples of those patterns. The most frequent ones are deletion, generalization, and distortion. Let's start with deletion. A good example of deletion is, "I can't do it," someone says. The immediate question that you should be asking is, "What is it that specifically can't you do?" A good generalization example is, "Well, everyone loves this idea." The question that you should be asking is, "Name one person who loves this idea." Again, going for specificity, going for concrete information, clearing assumptions. The third one is distortion. A good example of this pattern is, "He's always angry with me." The question you should be asking is, "How do you know he's always angry with you? Can you think of a time when he wasn't?" By saying that he's always angry is distorting reality. It is not the truth. Looking for the truth is also very important to pass your message along. Understanding the meta model is, in my opinion, a critical skill to have. Not only do you get to understand others better when you ask the questions, you also look into your own patterns and refine the way you communicate and avoid being unclear to begin with. Have you ever thought of how much time and money you could save if communication were clear to begin with? I've seen instances time and time again where groups of people could be far more productive if their leaders knew exactly what to say. So that's number one, the meta model. Let's go to number two, structures. Structures solidify your message. That's why consulting companies like McKinsey, BCG, and Bain are so notorious. They know their structures. I took the time in watching Paul Moss's Analyst Academy YouTube channel. I'll leave the link down below. He observes and analyzes what these big consulting companies do with their presentations. Found it yet? Structures. My favorite ones are lines, matrices, pyramids, and loops. Lines typically have a starting point and an end point. They also typically have midpoints, which indicate key moments in a journey. Lines can be straight, curved, or even erratic, trendy. The point is that it starts somewhere and ends somewhere, and it doesn't go back. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a line. Practical uses for lines are timelines, no pun intended, release planning, roadmaps, or sequences of any kind. Ask yourself what sequences do you usually have at work and do share with the community. Matrices or tables, most often known like that, associate two or more factors together to establish correlation. Two scenarios come to mind right off the bat. Number one, when one or multiple factors are displayed as columns and each record holds values for those factors. Number two, when you combine two different factors and cross-check them. The intersection may have a value of its own to further strengthen that correlation. The great thing about matrices is that the data inside them tell a story of their own. Good examples for using matrices are detailed lists, breakdowns, and exposing data patterns. Pyramids, or trees, have a root premise that branches out to its sustaining arguments. They're great for sharing ideas with a strong foundation, present compelling arguments, or even presenting suggestions for someone else. Most educational video content is presented using the pyramid principle, which was invented by McKinsey consultant Barbara Minto. The root is the key takeaway for a presentation, and all branches insightfully sustain that takeaway. Loops or circles demonstrate repetition. They're broken down into several steps, and the key idea is that the last one connects with the first one, demonstrating circularity. You typically use loops to represent continuity of process, identify points of rupture at any stage, etc. Just because you have a circle doesn't mean you have to stay within it. This and any other structure should act as a mental model to help you express your ideas. If you expand upon the original structure, that's even better. Now that we've covered structures, let's go to the third one, maps. Maps organize your ideas and structures spatially. Although simple in nature, maps can be potentially more complex as you grow them. The important thing to understand about maps is that you gain spatial awareness through proper indications. If you've used a map before, you'll quickly realize that there are several things that lead you to use it effectively. Boundaries, nodes of different sizes and colors, connections of different kinds, captions, terrain indicators, etc. All of these components are yours to define, as your own constructs are different from others. Your idea of a map is not the same as another person's. Maps are incredibly important to communicate. That's how the military prepares their operations very clearly. That's how adventurers know where to go and what they use to ask for directions. When you use a map for yourself, you create conditions for not just you, but others to navigate around your thoughts. Maps contain structures, the same way countries contain cities. While cities are structured, they can be part of something bigger. When leaders strategize, they can do so with a map. Establish the overarching theme of the map and decompose from there. Ask questions and answer them with structures. Now on to the final component of the framework, stories. Who doesn't love a good story? Stories are the culmination of communication because they're personal, relatable, and emotional. After all, the intent of communicating is to trigger a behavior, sharing an idea, getting a response, planning an operation, and so forth. Stories trigger powerful, emotionally charged behaviors, and they leverage maps, structures, and the meta model all together. Let's recall the anecdote I told you at the beginning. I asked ChatGPT for the number one skill for teams and leaders, right? There's a story behind it. Let me share it with you. Many working adults spend around 8 to 9 hours of their day solving problems. Can you imagine spending that time in the dark, not knowing where to go or what to do? That happened to me. Here's the situation. Some time ago, I met a person who attempted to describe me a problem to solve. I say attempted because he was unable to do so effectively. Every sentence he asked me had me ask two questions in return because there were a lot of gaps. What do you mean by that? How did you draw that conclusion? Who's we? When you say we need to figure out a solution, what's on your mind exactly? I spent a good 30 to 60 minutes back and forth with this person, and I was exhausted. I had to find a way to avoid this in the future for good. Otherwise, I won't have the time to do the things I do have to do. So I came up with a mind map. There's a map that put a central goal or outcome up front, surrounded by key questions. There's the meta model, and explore as we go, connecting important ideas together. In the end, I would summarize the ideas into a list. There's a structure. In the end, the person was grateful and appreciated the effort, gaining a sense of the chaotic pile of ideas he had at the time. The good thing about stories is that your audience maps them to their own setting. The feelings, the decisions, the result, the context, the people, everything. I remember going offsite training on leadership. To me, the highlight of the whole training was watching the first episode of Band of Brothers with Scott Grimes and Damian Lewis, who played the role of soldiers in a platoon, and David Schwimmer, who played the role of their lieutenant. This guy was all over the place. He was so strict, so severe. No one dared to question his authority, under the threat of being forbidden to go home on weekends. The story ends with a silent vote of protest on the part of soldiers, when they noticed that Lewis, one of the best soldiers in the squad, was looked up to. He was a naturally caring leader, when Schwimmer was a tyrant. Schwimmer was later reassigned, and Lewis took his place. I'm almost sure you would replace the tyrant officer with somebody you know. The natural leader, too. What about the protesting platoon? Did you find somebody in your own circle? Maybe even yourself? That's the power of storytelling. An overarching message disguised within a theme everyone can relate to. To summarize my point, to articulate your thoughts to others with consistency and ensure clarity from the get-go, understand the MOS-MOS framework. Number one, the meta model, derived from NLP, helps clarify and understand what you say and what others might ask, thus enhancing clarity. Structures such as lines, matrices, pyramids, and loops solidify your message and support understanding. Maps help organize ideas spatially, enhance understanding through proper indications, and promote collaboration. Finally, stories are personal, relatable, and emotionally impactful vehicles of sending out a message that sticks. If you've noticed, most of my podcasts use this framework. I'm using it here. I usually start with a situation or context, provide a challenge, pose a question, and then suggest a solution. That's almost like a story. Well, actually, it's the SCQ Way framework, which I'm happy to talk about in a later episode. The solution is typically broken down in a pyramid structure. This one today has four main branches, matching each of the components of the framework, which in turn has several arguments and explanations that validate them, each one typically having lists and other structures that might fit. Also, notice that the words I use have to be as clear and unambiguous as possible. Otherwise, if I were to delete, distort, or generalize parts of my ideas, how would you be able to understand what I'm talking about? That's good communication right there. Thanks for tuning in today. Stay tuned on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen from. Do you have a question for me to cover? Send it over to podcast@josemoda.net and I'll answer it. Make it a great one.